Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santaferadiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services, and we're at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later in the program, Rob DeWalt will be with us, speaking of the arts. I'm very happy now to welcome back to the program Diane Schneier-Perrin. She's the executive director of the Santa Fe Film Festival. And Brent Cleaver joins us by phone. He's the director of film programming at the Film Festival. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hi, Mary Charlotte.
Hello,
Thank you.
It's great to have you. And I have to say, I personally am very excited that the Santa Fe Film Festival is back in business, so to speak. It's been, a little rocky moment there?
Well, we've had a couple of years where the film festival grew and it exceeded, I think, its ability to meet its own obligations. And we, as the new bearers of the film festival, are going forward, bringing whatever past needs still remain forward with us.
Meaning what, debts from past years?
Yes, that's exactly what I mean, Mary Charlotte. One of the things that attracted me to this position was the integrity of the board and the fact that we were not reinventing ourselves as the Northern New Mexico, not Santa Fe Film Festival.
Right.
And it's very important to us to also honor the contributions and the achievements of the past.
So this year, it's a slightly more modest film festival than it has been in all those past boom years where it was a week or more than a week or whatever. This year it's what, a four or five day festival?
We start on Thursday night, the 20th of October, and we go through Sunday, the 23rd.
So it's basically a very packed long weekend.
Yes, it is.
What is your vision, Diane, and we'll talk to you, Brent, about that also, but what is your vision for this festival, both as a continuity of past years and as a new, somewhat reinvented festival?
We see it as an international boutique festival. And one of the things that took a little while for me to really get my head around was how to honor the local community. We have an incredible, avid film-going community here. And in talking with Brent, one of the things that I realized was with him being someone who's programmed for Santa Fe audiences for a quarter of a century, he said something to me and it stuck with me. He said, we've watched thousands of films together. And so what I was able to realize is what we want our film festival to be is we do this all year round in this amazing place. And for 4 days in October, we invite the world to join us.
What a wonderful way of thinking about it. Brent, let's talk about the movies. How are you choosing the films, and what kind of films are we going to see?
Well, first of all, let me add a little bit there. I think part of the issues of the past has been the transient nature of leadership, and I'm not a real solid foundation in the leadership of the festival, and it kind of got unwieldy and taking on more, like Diane said, than it could handle. And I think it needed in some way to be somewhat reined back in. Now, I know people like festivals that are hundreds and, you know, of films, but in a four-day festival, it's a little bit unrealistically. I've been programming in this community since 1982. So that's, dare I say, 30 years. I mean, I have to look in the mirror on that one going, oh, my goodness. Have I been here that long? So I hope to bring a little bit of stability to my experience with the Santa Fe audience in what Diane said of we've seen thousands of films together, and I've been part of that. As I approach this, somewhat like programming the different venues I've been to. And, of course, the Jean Cocteau, the CCA, and the Screen for the last, since 96, so I guess the last 15 years. And you get to know your audience, and you get trust from your audience. You get your audience to kind of go places with you. And you hope that you never pander to your audience, because the audience, you know, doesn't like to be pandered to, like you can begin to program things from all across the world that opens up new experiences for people. And the nature of the film world is changing now. But I think this year, at least on my side, you know, this would be a collection of shorts, and Diane can address those because she's handling that side of it, and I'm dealing more with the feature side of it. But I think it's going to have in my case more of an international look than probably it's ever had.
So, what countries are you getting films from?
Let's see. Let me just off the top of my head. Iran, Poland, France, South Korea, Japan, Russia, United Kingdom, Italy.
Amazing. No, that's great. I mean, I'm glad you're getting Iranian films. I've always loved Iranian films. I don't know what it is that country has, but they make... I'm sure there's lots of schlock, too, but they make incredible films.
Right, and the particular film we'll be showing, and again, we haven't released the title, the gentleman who made the film and his editor both got sent to prison. And the editor's actually quite a prominent director himself, Jafar Panahi, so I'll give that away. He has been he's under house arrest, ordered not to leave the country and never to make films for 20 years. And lately he's found a way he can kind of get around that. We'll probably talk about that in the course of the festival, maybe even set up a panel that deals with since we have some other people that have dealt with totalitarian regimes in other parts of the world there, that might be a topic. But also, you know, remember, Persia has a legacy of some of the greatest art in the history of the world. Let's not forget. It's different than so much of the Arab countries or other countries that part of the world. It's just, you know, their poetry, Sufi Islam from that part of the world, which is very mystical and poetic. And so there's a sense of, it's a beautiful, expression that comes from that part of the world.
Now, you said a moment ago that the nature of the film world is changing. What did you mean by that?
Well, there'll no longer be film. We're in a transition on the technical side. Will there be tens of film in 2 years that arrive at the theater and are put together, or in our case, we just get it out of the can, make it up at the screen, and do 2,000 foot reel changeover. I did the Film Noir Festival Summer in the Dark this past week. That's why I was in town, and we had all these incredible archival prints. I mean, I more than ever. I mean, I think people were just thoroughly engaged in this festival because they all realize they're not going to be able to see this stuff again, and it's only places like UCLA Film and Television Archive that are going to be the deposits, the vaults, if you will, of true film, 35-millimeter film, the old Kodak film. Now, digital's opening up a whole new world. People that never had access to making films now have access.
Right.
And so it the transition in the way it's displayed. Will we even have 35-millimeter projectors around in 2 years? That's doubtful.
Very interesting.
Again, unless you're doing Summer in the Dark, we're right at the brink, of this massive transformation like we've never seen before.
Let's talk about...
Maybe we have. I mean, it's just we're living through it. I mean, sound, I guess, was a major transformation when it came in, I'm sure. The people living through it was like there'd never be anything like this. So maybe it's just that we're going to be around during this technological birth.
Well, and color also.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah, color, sound, and now this transformation, although this transformation in some ways is less visible to the naked eye or less people are less cognizant of it because they're watching, whether they're watching a digital film in the theaters or whether they're watching a 35 millimeter film or whether they're watching a DVD, they might still be experiencing it as the same movie.
But they are able to make these. 50 years ago, that person in the audience, none of them would be able to sit down and make the type of film you were watching or even approach making the type of film. Now, the technology is there, the accessibility is there, the cost, you know, has come way down, where you can take a video camera out with a crew of two or three, a couple of good actors, and make a film.
Right, right. Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about. Also, is the independent film scene in the United States, what that looks like to you and whether that will be represented in the feature-length films at the Santa Fe Film Festival?
Yeah, there will be some there, and there'll be some, you know. One thing that, and I think Diane will attest to this as well, that you really see gathering, being helped a lot by the change in technology is the documentary filmmaker. And can you, anybody remember as many docs as you've seen? I mean, there's just hundreds of docs made everywhere, and some good ones, too.
Yeah.
Which really opened the door for docs. Features, I mean, again, it's the old adage, again, and I still say this to a degree. Yeah, you can show your film on YouTube and do all this, but I mean, do you sit down and watch stuff on YouTube? I guess I don't, but, you know, but maybe people do, or is that the venue you want to see your film? It still comes down, even though you have all this new technology at your feet, even though it's made it accessible to make, and so on and so forth, it still comes down to how do you get people to see your film? Because now, more than ever, you have even more of a glut, more of this visual information thrown at you out there. How are you going to decide if I'm going to sit down and watch this or these 5 million other things that I can, add, you know, press a switch and have access to? So how are you going to draw attention to your film? So in some ways, it sounds like, okay, we can get this film made, but can we get this film seen? Unless it's some cute little ditty on YouTube, which, again, is kind of its own thing. It's not really occasionally there's something on there that's worthwhile. But that goes for feature films. There's still a lot of feature films out there that are not able to get seen. And they don't have marketing and, you know, the P&A behind, you know, of someone. You still have to have, you know, you still have to agree, have good reviews. It still has to go through that same publicity machine to get it out there, because you're still going to be seeing stuff in theaters, even if they don't have projectors or some semblance of it. Now, HBO and some of these are offering new outlets, and certainly some of the best work in today's world is being done on pay TV like HBO.
Very interesting. We're talking to Brent Cleaver and Diane Schneier-Perrin of the Santa Fe Film Festival. Diane, what about, we used to call it New Mexico's burgeoning film industry. That's probably not the right word anymore because it was so much under attack during the last legislative session. Where's New Mexico's film industry at?
Well, we still have, I also wouldn't use the word burgeoning at this point because we have established a local film community, still people joining it. We don't have as much production as we have in the past. My understanding is there is great hope that there are some people scouting. We have Santa Fe Studios on the horizon. We're actually honoring Lance Hull at a fundraiser on the 30th, who is the CEO of Santa Fe Studios. But having looked at a bunch of New Mexico-made productions recently, shorts that we're going to be showing and some features, in the festival, I have to say New Mexico film is alive and kicking, and I've been really, really impressed with the quality of the films I've been looking at.
That's good to hear. I'm very happy to hear that. And let's talk for a moment about shorts. I mean, short films are a genre that I really only watch at film festivals.
That it's true, and I think that is much to the despair of the filmmakers, because there really aren't a lot of ways to see short films. There are compilations that come out now and then, or as you say, at festivals, or somebody decides to put on shorts for a period of time in their theater. But I think there is some streaming of shorts that's available now, and so I do think there are more opportunities on the horizon. We worked with Without a Box, which is an online portal that connects filmmakers and festivals and makes an incredibly difficult process a little less difficult.
Are people using it on both ends?
On both ends and all around the world. And
very
so we have received short films from regional areas of the states, but you know, from our bigger cities and from around the world. And it's been pretty extraordinary to just have them show up at your door and have all the paperwork done online. And in looking through those, again, we've just been amazed at the quality of films that are shorts and don't really have a way to make their money back in the marketplace.
Right.
So these are people who are either starting out and want to show their work, want to show what they can do in the hopes of going on to a feature career. But I think there are also some people out there who just make shorts.
Well, I was going to say, there are some people who just write short stories.
Right.
It's not just a warm-up for a novel.
Exactly. Exactly. And we also receive features through Without a Box. And as Brent was saying earlier, I was amazed at the number of documentaries that came in this year and the quality that they were. There were so many that for a festival that will probably show, and Brent can correct me if I'm wrong, 4 or 5 documentaries total in our program, that the number that we're going to have to choose from is really, it's difficult. It's difficult in a good way.
Yeah, yeah. Now, tonight there is an event which is going to be a whole lot of fun. Tell us about it, Diane.
We decided that as newbies to the Santa Fe Film Festival, though Brent has had a relationship for quite a long time, that we wanted to come out and welcome the public to the Santa Fe Film Festival in our what we're calling our festival season. So even though we showed The Way on September 1st at the screen with Emilio Estevez and Martin Sheen visiting and doing a Q&A.
About their film The Way. And I hope to get one or both of them on the air because it's a very good film and it's going to be coming out in theaters fairly soon, I think.
Yes, I think they've shifted from an October 7th nationwide opening to select theaters on the 7th and then later in the month nationwide.
Oh,
so
okay.
It may be later in October.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, look for that film because it was very good. It was just that one screening over at the screen. But anyway, so what are you doing tonight?
So tonight we decided that we would like to do an open-air screening under the stars of Juno, which played in the Santa Fe Film Festival back in 2007 before it opened. And we were lucky enough, Jamie Lenfesty is our partner, Heath Concerts is our partner for the event. And we were lucky enough to get Kimya Dawson, who did the soundtrack for Juno, to come and do a performance.
And that's an interesting story of how she got to do the soundtrack for Juno.
Yes. Jason Reitman, who's the director of Juno, was speaking with Ellen Page, who played that character. And he was asking her what music Juno would listen to. And without hesitation, Ellen Page said, Kimya Dawson. And they were able to get Kimya Dawson, who is formerly of the Moldy Peaches, to come and not only participate in bringing her music to the soundtrack, but you also have the character of Juno and Bleeker, Michael Cera and Ellen Page, singing one of her songs in the film.
At the very end?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's one of Kimya's songs. So her music was really emblematic of the character. And for the Santa Fe Film Festival, we wanted to show something that would bring a wider audience to Rail Yard Park for this screening, but also something that worked within our mission or our theme of the artist's perspective. And so here, having music that was so intrinsic in developing and portraying the character to the audience this seemed like an ideal choice.
And so that's tonight, and where exactly is the screening?
The screening is in Rail Yard Park, and there's, I don't know how to describe it other than the green. There's a grassy area that's near the community building.
Okay.
And so it's there. But at 6 o'clock, we have the Kimya concert, and someone's opening for her over near the water tower.
Okay.
In Rail Yard Plaza. And then everyone can walk over. Please bring blankets. It's been getting a little chilly at night.
Yes, indeed.
And it's a free event.
Oh, wonderful. And it's a wonderful movie. I love that movie, and every time it plays on cable, I watch it again. Santa Fe Film Festival is October 20th through 23rd this year. They're on the web at santafefilmfestival.com. Diane Schneier-Perrin is the executive director, and Brent Cleaver is the director of film programming. Thank you both so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned to KSFR.